Chapter 2, Exaltation. Then shall they be gods, because they have no end. Therefore shall they be from everlasting to everlasting, because they continue. Then shall they be above all, because all things are subject unto them. Then shall they be gods, because they have all power, and the angels are subject unto them. Jesus Christ said, For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. Immortality and eternal life may seem like synonyms. Both are forever gifts from our Lord and Savior, but there are important differences in meaning in this scripture. Here, immortality refers to overcoming physical death or the separation of the mortal body from the spirit. Thanks to the atonement of Jesus Christ, every mortal is promised a new, perfected, and incorruptible resurrected body once his or her period of probation is complete. Eternal life is also a forever gift. In this scripture, eternal life has to do with overcoming the spiritual death or separation of our spirit from God. Eternal life is not just any kind of life. It is the life most worth living. It is a forever life lived in the presence of God and our brothers and sisters who are also worthy. It is the life of the gods, characterized by holiness, love, unity, wisdom, power, and glory. With the help of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, eternal life is within the reach of anyone as long as he is willing to humble himself as a child and give up those selfish behaviors that are holding him back. Every mortal, except those few who become sons of perdition, is promised a heavenly glory, whether it be in the telestial, terrestrial, or celestial kingdom. But only those who are valiant in the testimony of Jesus, repent their sins, receive required ordinances, and enter into the everlasting covenant of marriage will dwell in the highest degree of the celestial kingdom. It is these persons who receive what we call eternal life or exaltation. There, the man and wife stand at the head of their mutual posterity. These are joint heirs with Christ, and all that the Father hath shall be given them. A few passages from the Book of Mormon and New Testament seem to speak of salvation as the ultimate heavenly reward for the righteous. In these cases, the word salvation seems to refer to the ultimate level of salvation, or as we would say today, exaltation. The celestial kingdom itself is divided into 3 degrees. The prophet Joseph Smith explained, In the celestial glory there are 3 heavens or degrees. And in order to obtain the highest, a man must enter into this order of the priesthood, meaning the new and everlasting covenant of marriage, and if he does not, he cannot obtain it. He may enter into the other, but that is the end of his kingdom, and he cannot have an increase. Since many members of the church are single, such a statement naturally raises the question, what about me? Many general authorities have commented on this important and sincere question. Several points may be made. Number 1, Jesus said, For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Jesus did not elaborate on this statement, as it was made as a hostile, distracting question posed at that moment. However, Elder James E. Talmage elaborated, In the resurrection, there will be no marrying or giving in marriage, for all questions of marital status must be settled before that time, under the authority of the Holy Priesthood, which holds the power to seal in marriage for both time and eternity. Since a great many worthy people have died without the opportunity to marry, and since others have sadly married wicked and abusive partners in mortality, this seems to leave these persons only their time in the spirit world or during the millennium to find an equal partner. During the millennium, there will be open communication between those who have died and mortals who will perform necessary ordinances in the temple vicariously. On the subject of those who have died without the opportunity to be sealed to a worthy partner, I quote David Ridges. They will choose a mate in the spirit world or during the millennium. Then they will introduce themselves and their fiancé to mortals during the millennium, who will then be sealed for them by proxy in a temple. Joseph Fielding Smith taught this. He said, "We have people coming to us all the time just as fearful as they can be that a child of theirs who had died will lose the blessings of the kingdom of God unless that child is sealed to someone who is dead. They do not know the wishes of their child who died too young to think of marriage, but they want to go straight to the temple and have a sealing performed. Such a thing as this is unnecessary and, in my judgment, wrong. The Lord has said through His servants that during the millennium, those who have passed beyond and have obtained the resurrection will reveal in person to those who are still in mortality all the information that is required to complete the work of those who have passed from this life. Then the dead will have the privilege of making known the things they desire and are entitled to receive. In this way, no soul will be neglected, and the work of the Lord will be perfected." Note that James Talmage stated that all marriage sealings must be settled before the resurrection. But Joseph Fielding Smith talks about those who are single and have attained the resurrection will come to mortals and request their sealing to their chosen spouse be performed in the temple. It would be splitting hairs to think of this as a conflict. The point is that these sealings will evidently be completed early enough in the process so as to ensure marital stability in the celestial world. The same opportunity is available to both those who, through no fault of their own, died without being sealed to a spouse, and those who are sealed to one who remains unworthy. We infer this from the fact that King David's wives will be given by the Lord to another because of David's sins against Uriah and Bathsheba. David Ridges comments, "We must be extremely careful not to misinterpret the phrase, 'I gave them to another,' in verse 39, to mean that David's wives, who were worthy of exaltation, are treated as mere property without consideration of their feelings on the matter of being eternal mates. We know that individual agency is always respected by God. Thus, we know that in exaltation, each spouse, whether husband or wife, will be in that eternal relationship by agency choice. And we can, with full confidence, apply this principle to David's worthy wives." Number 2. Mortal members of the church are urged to be patient and determined in searching for a partner who is worthy to take them to the temple. I read an article in the Ensign magazine about a young woman who lived in a sparsely populated area of Alaska. There were few eligible bachelors in her area who were active members of the church. There was an eligible young man who proposed marriage, but he dithered as far as qualifying for a temple recommend. At length, she wondered, should she marry this man and have faith he would qualify for a recommend later, or break up with the young man and have faith the Lord will help her find the partner she deserved in the future? She made the latter choice and was rewarded by meeting and marrying the partner she deserved after she moved to a new location. Number 3. Meeting through dating apps is common in today's ultra-connected world. While these apps can lead some to success, research from BYU urges caution while using them. A recent finding shows an incredibly concerning number of violent sexual predators are also using dating apps. The study, led by BYU nursing professor Julie L. Valentine, analyzed the records of nearly 2,000 sexual assault victims from 2017 to 2020, and found that 14% of the attacks occurred at the first in-person meeting after connecting on a dating app. Those cases stood out in disturbing ways. Victims with mental illnesses and other vulnerabilities were targeted, and the attacks were significantly more violent. It used to be that people would meet through mutual friends or at work or school, and there was a degree of vetting in place before dating, she says. Dating apps have completely taken away that process. The article advised app users to limit the personal information they share. For example, when posting a picture, don't have identifiers like house numbers or license plates visible. Keep conversations on the app rather than another platform so that their behavior can be tracked on the app. Since trouble often happens on the first encounter, and because the other party is not vetted, it makes sense to me that you would want to meet the other party with some of your friends, and you might ask for references that you could trust. You could first meet at the other party's ward and meet some of that person's friends and ward leaders at the same time. Then try to vet the other party in the same way. One of my best friends asked the bishop of his singles ward which sisters in the ward would be great candidates to be Relief Society presidents. He ended up marrying one of those sisters, and they both went on to be great leaders in the church and had a great family. Pray and be wise. Number 4. Persons who marry should not be surprised to encounter some difficulties after marriage. None of us is perfect. We are here to learn. When we encounter problems, our learning opportunities are starting, if we deal with these problems with the right attitudes, love and respect for our partner, and eagerness to become better persons. These problems can make us better. What works best is for both partners to humble themselves, let Jesus Christ work in their lives, and let Him teach them how to be better, kinder, and more loving marriage partners. Number 5. God loves His sons and daughters equally, and both to a greater degree than we can comprehend. If you want positive assurance of that, just read the Gospels in the New Testament and keep track of how Jesus interacted with both men and women. Especially note how tender and personal His interactions were. He loves you just the same. He knows your name. He calls you His friends. The same words are used to describe the status of both men and women in the highest degree of the celestial kingdom: kings and queens, priests and priestesses. In the temple ceremonies, we are reminded of this equally as both women and men perform their respective ordinances as ordinance workers set apart under the authority of priesthood. Number 6. What if I'm not sure I want exaltation? The lower 2 degrees of the celestial kingdom sound pretty good, or maybe even the terrestrial kingdom. Remember, we are talking forever here. How many rounds of golf can you play every day for 1 billion years and still get excited? God can do anything He wants, and He chooses to help His children gain immortality and eternal life. By so doing, His kingdom is forever expanding, and the forces of evil are being diminished. We live for eons in the pre-earthly existence. We saw others gain their exaltation, and we knew what our Heavenly Father and Heavenly Mother were like. We decided we wanted these blessings for ourselves. When at great length we were given this opportunity, we shouted for joy. Living below our potential may seem pretty good for a while, but wait until you have soared with the eagles. You will never want to go back. I think one reason the scripture talks so little about the terrestrial kingdom, or the 2 lower degrees of the celestial kingdom, is that our Heavenly Father is helping us to keep our eye on the ball. Go for exaltation with all your heart, and you will never have any regrets.